Welcome to ATS Mix.
And I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
But also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
It is the ATS Mix. That must mean that I am Johnny Anonymous.
And I am Dave Rabbit, freshly back from where, John and Nader?
Well, I believe that would be Santa Clara, California, where we attended the Bay Area UF Expo. And since this is your second time of being able to show up for an expo, what were your thoughts? I mean, what'd you think?
Well, you know, I said this to a bunch of the people there, and we want to kind of mention some of them. But, you know, the first one, John, and
I'm asking you what you thought.
I'm giving you my opinion, if you'll give me 5 seconds, baby puppy.
We're all waiting.
I understand that, but I have to preface it by saying last year at the 2007, I mean, it was my first time to be exposed to any of this thing, and I was like a kid in a candy store.
All right.
This time, I kind of knew what I was going into, so I had at least something to compare to.
The question that everybody wants to know, did you at least bring money this time for the candy store?
Yes, brought
instead
money.
Instead of bumming candy off of all of us. Yes.
Yeah, and I also brought clean underwear. You know, I didn't realize I was going to need to change it.
What does that got to do?
Well, that's a story that we can't tell on the air. But here's the deal.
Waka waka.
I had more fun at this one than I had it last year, even though last year was an eye-popping experience. I had more fun this year, and I guess it was because I knew a lot of people. You already had known a lot of the people from MUFON and everything else. But this year it was really kind of neat because I really got a chance to know the people that really make up, quote-unquote, our industry, the ufologist following. And I guess I just had more fun, John. I was just really more relaxed this time.
Well, when about did you actually show up? Because I was a little late getting there.
Jeez. I left Dallas, got there probably around noonish. The Springinator had already checked in. And by the time I got in the hotel, then, of course, that's when I called you. And would you like to tell your Marriott marathon story?
Oh, I'd forgotten about that. Yes, that's
yeah,
correct.
How many valets did you check your car with before you found
three? It cost me $60 in valet charges before I actually ended up at the right one. I didn't realize there were so many damn Marriotts around there. And when I first originally heard that it was going to be at the Marriotts, several people that I'd spoken to from last year's expo said, oh, yeah, it's real simple. It's just at the Marriotts just down the street. And there is a Marriotts about a block away from the Doubletree where they had the Bay Area UFO Expo last year in 2007. So that's where I first went. And so I come in there, and, of course, I handed my card. Hi, I'm Johnny Anonymous. And they look, and they go, uh-huh. And I said, and I'd like to check in. And they go, oh, is there a room? Yes. Under what name? Johnny Anonymous. Uh-huh. And so they look, well, we don't have one. I go, well, how about Dave Rabbit? No. Well, then how about a Mark Allen? No. How about AboveTopSecret.com? No. Are you guys hosting a UFO expo here? No. Okay, well, then I must be at the wrong Marriott's. Could you tell me where the next nearest Marriott's is? So they then send me to Market Street. Long story short, basically ended up doing the same thing there. But in the meantime, I've got valets to already take all my equipment, all my luggage and everything out of the car, and they've already taken the investigative SUV out into valet land, wherever that may be. Right. And then all this time, you're standing outside your Marriott waiting for me to show
Marriott.
Up.
Yeah. I'm going, where the hell is he?
The last time he called, he said he was 3 to 5 minutes away.
And how many phone calls did I make to you going, John, you said he'd be 5 minutes. Where the hell are you? You know,
but, you know, on the flip side, you got to meet some very interesting and talk to some very interesting female concierge from each Marriott's.
Yeah, well, in fact, we tried hooking up. John just wasn't in the spirit after, driving all over. Okay, so anyway, John rolls up, and what was really neat, folks, for those of you that weren't there, he had his SUV all decked out in the ATS investigation signs, and so he pulled up, and I mean, man, everybody started running towards him, wanting his autograph and stuff, because I guess his reputation had preceded him.
Now, in a Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah, now here's the funny thing. Of course, I wasn't there at the other two, but this one I was there at. It's when he hands his Johnny Anonymous card to this valet, and the guy gets this kind of a dookie-eating grin on his face, and he says, nah. He says, really, what's your name? Okay. Can I tell one little quick story when you're out there with Michelle or Miguel or whatever the broad's name was at the front desk?
Monique.
I knew it was something like that. I knew. Now let me do
make it long. Just get
no, to no, it. No, this is very short. Johnny and I had been partners for over a year. We're going. Well, this is our 99th show, and up until maybe 30 days ago, I never really knew who Johnny was. That's how protective Johnny is of his identification, which I totally respect. So I'm thinking to myself, when I check in, she says, "Okay, well, your room's covered by the expo." I need a credit card in case you have any incidental expenses, you know, like watching movies or whatever. And I said, sure. So I give her my credit card. You know, I mean, I'm very close to the vest, but, you know, I gave him my credit card that has my real name on it. So as Johnny's pulling up and we're unloading Johnny's stuff, and I said, okay, well, I'll go up to the front desk. I know the room's under Johnny Anonymous. I knew that it was going to come to that question. Well, sir, you're going to have to give us some kind of thing. So I'm thinking, I want to watch how Johnny, you know, handles this. I already kind of knew how he was going to do it. So the broad says, okay, sir. Okay, Mr. Anonymous, you're going to have to give us some kind of credit card. And he goes, no, I'm not. And, of course, I'm laughing inside because I know where this is all going. So anyway, you know, the Johninator pops out a $100 bill and gives it to her and says, well, is this good enough? And she said, sure. Anyway, that was Monique. So, hi, Monique. We say to you hello on the show, and there you go, babe. So then after we got checked in and got up to our rooms, then you want to tell them about how big a balcony you guys had compared to mine?
Well, first off, I'd like to apologize to Springer because Springer and I were next door to one another. I had room 27, and he had room 27. He says, hey, let's step out on the balcony and take a look at what kind of view we got. Well, as soon as you open up the sliding glass door, you have about, I don't know, 5 to 6 inches of a balcony.
Really?
Seriously,
yeah.
You have to turn your legs sideways to get on what they call the balcony. Now, as we're both, you know, we're grimacing and going, wow, is this really a balcony?
How many beds you had? Tell me how many beds you guys had in your own individual rooms.
Well, we both had two beds.
You had twin beds in both of your rooms.
Correct.
Now, Mark was thinking he was going to have a suite, right?
That's correct.
So here he walks into two twin beds. I mean, it's a nice room and a 6-inch balcony, and that's what John has. Okay, now go ahead, John.
Okay, well.
I'm so sorry.
So all during the expo, Mark had never had a chance to go inside Dave's room until the very last day as we're locking up and we're literally walking out with our luggage and stuff. And so I called Mark on the last day and said, well, okay, well, we'll be hanging out in Dave's room until you're ready to go. And so all of a sudden the door flies open because they've got a little latch so you can keep the door open. And he comes flying in, takes one look at the room, and he goes, you bleep, 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 bleep. Dave, you ended up with my room, you bleep, 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 bleep.
Yeah, he wasn't a happy puppy because I had a huge
And then, of course, Dave, you made it worse just a little bit because you had to then go show off the balcony, which had like about a 7-foot
Yeah, it's a normal balcony.
It's 7-foot wide by 22-foot long balcony. And, I don't think Springer was all that happy about that.
Yeah, my balcony can sleep 6. I mean, that's how big that sucker was compared to y'all's. So, anyway.
So, actually, the day number one of our showing up, it consisted of us, of course, first getting our rooms, getting set away, reacquainting one another other than emails, as we normally do, or by telephone, and then trying to figure out where the hell the ATS area was going to be, which nobody seemed to have a clue because they hadn't had their top secret meeting yet with the designation of where everybody was supposed to be at. So we'll get back to you. Well, we heard that a few times in a several-hour span, so we decided, well, heck, let's go roam. So we did a little roaming, and we found a couple of nice restaurants. We found a couple of nice sports bars, and that's where we ended up while we waited.
Yeah, and then, you know, once we got situated and kind of got down and figured out what we were going to do or not do, that's when we kind of laid our plan of attack on, you know, what we were going to do.
Oh, was
Saturday.
There one? Well, did we actually have a plan of attack?
Well, not really. We just kind of just wanted to see who we wanted to listen to, who we wanted to talk to, and whatever. And I got to say, John, you know, we had about 50, a little bit over 50 ATS members that came by and said stuff to us and whatever. But there was only one, John,
yes.
Despite my plea.
Yes.
There was only one that actually brought us a can of Bush beans, and that was AboveTopSecret.com member Few World Order. And we're going to post his picture and me and the Bush Beans and John the Nader. So for that, being the first one and the only one, I decided 10,000 ATS points wasn't enough. So we gave him 25,000 ATS points. And, of course, John and I autographed it and put a little personal message to him that is not fit for publication. And he seemed to be real happy with it. But Few World Order, we want to tell you how much we really appreciate you bringing the Bush Beans, brother.
And we appreciate those that came up. One that stuck to mind was the gentleman that went up to Calistoga with me to kind of co-witness with me the claims by Ed Grimsley, who we also ran into there.
Yeah, saw Ed. Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
Thank you, ATS member Synthesis, for coming down and bringing your daughter Rachel with you. We enjoyed meeting you there. Here's some of the strange things that did happen. I gotta get this off my chest because this has been bugging me ever since I came back. Of course, we wanted to come up with a nice little presentation, a little kind of a photo presentation, kind of similar to what I did with the MUFON symposium thing. And so I took scads of photographs, and I think you took a few photographs too, Dave.
Right.
But I
right.
took over 100-plus photographs. Now, on day one, we went to a tent thing at night, kind of a meet the speakers type deal. And so you had David Icke, you had Clifford Stone, Robert O'Dean, Ruben Uriarte, John Alexander, Steve Cannata, Preston Dennett, Jose Escamilla, Paola Harris, George Knapp. All these people are all there, right? So everybody's got a little drinky poo in their hand, and we're meeting, and they're having a little auction, and I'm snapping photographs because what a perfect time, you know, at one sitting to be able to get photographs of all these people rather than, you know, while they're doing their presentation, walk all the way up at the hallway, take your snapshot, and then walk all the way back and disrupt the presentation. So I'm snapping photos left and right. I got probably 30, 40 photographs. So that's great. So now day two comes along. I'm still snapping photographs. In fact, we ended up having some special guests, which we'll talk about here in a little while, that showed up. And I'm snapping photos. Got great photos. Got shots of Dave and Springer in front of the ATS banner and our table that we're at. Some nice shots. Then afterwards, throughout the rest of the period of time, I take about another 70 or so photographs. Now, here's the weird thing. Out of all those photographs that I took, and the camera, I got to explain, my camera, when you take a photograph, it leaves a preview screen up, and you can decide whether or not you want to save that photograph, delete it, or retake the photograph. So every photograph, it'll say, okay, or delete. It has a big button that says okay, and that's generally most of my shots are good, so I hit the okay button, and then it shows that my next photograph will be number 36 or number 37 or whatever, right? So it's telling me I've got over 100 photographs in there. But when I come back and I download them and I look at the disc and how many photographs are on the disc, it only has the five photographs that I took of Few New Order with us there at the table, the shots of Dave and Springer. I got several shots of Dave and Springer there, and one shot of Dave, Springer, and Clifford Stone. Those are the only five photographs that turned out, not turned out, that were present on the disc and it's like, or the chip, it's a compact, right, compact flash disk. So it's like, right, what happened to the other 100+ photos? I do not know. I have no, I have no answer for it. Although I have had some other weird things that have happened ever since I've come back from our Washington investigation, Dave.
Right, and you know, I had my camera too. Now on the flip side, all of mine turned out. Unfortunately, because John has the better high-tech equipment, mine's just one of those little handheld little digital cameras. I mean, it's a good camera, but I mean, it's not compared to what John's is. So instead of thinking, well, you know, we better do a backup, so let's use, you know, do both cameras. We didn't. We just did John's camera. Now, every one of the photographs that I took with my camera turned out, okay?
Yep.
Now, and that's the dilemma. John and I were in the same proximity almost everywhere we went. Mine were okay. John's was not. Now, John's camera was the one he took with him to Gilliland Ranch. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, you know, we have no way to know what happened, but, you know, it's really weird that if you have 100-some-odd photos, you have 5 that on his camera.
That were all from the second day. It's like it wasn't from the first day.
Right.
And it wasn't from, like, at the end of the day when I shot him. It's somewhere in the third portion of the amount of photos I took, which is, to me, just friggin' bizarre.
Yeah, it's freaking bizarre in the 10th deposit and the degree, as a matter of fact. Okay, so anyway, that was pretty much it, and we had a great spot. Our table was right outside the main area for where they do where they had all the free lectures and stuff.
Well, not all of them were free. Just that first door was free. The rest of them were for the workshop.
Yeah, but then they had.
But everybody had to walk past our table. That's
everybody had to walk past the table, and of course, John and I had our business cards out there. And a bunch of people would grab them, and a lot of people would stop and
pick their teeth with them.
Yeah, and, yeah.
You got to tell them that story?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but, tell them that story.
Okay, you know, our cards are plasticized, you know. So there was one guy that came up and, you know, said, well, do you think we're going to bomb Iran? That's how he opened his conversation.
Is this the guy in the red shirt?
Yeah, and I'm going, how the hell do I know? You know, what do you think I am? You know, I'm a clairvoyant? I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm Dave Rabbit of the show. You know, I don't know. He says, but seriously, he says, you think we're going to bomb Iran? I said, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think so. I think that'd be suicide. And so he's sitting there and he's sitting there, got my card. You know, hey, did any of y'all ever, and I'm just curious, you can post it on the show thread if you want to. When you were a kid and you had a bicycle, those of you that had a bicycle, did you ever take playing cards and clip them to the sprockets and make it sound like a, you know, that little thing, little motorcycle thing?
I'm raising my hand to yes. Yes,
okay, I did too, because we thought that was so cool when we were kids. We do that. Well, because they're plasticized, our cards, you could actually take our cards and do the same thing with the bicycle wheels. So I told the guy, he says, this is kind of a neat card. I said, yeah. I says, not only can you put them to your bicycle spokes and make the little noises, which he never changed one fraction of his look that he was giving me. And I put my card between my teeth, and I said, you know, unless your teeth are real close together, they also make a great toothpick. And he goes, he puts my card up his teeth. And with that, I said, well, it's good to talk to you, and turned around to John and tried to ignore him so he'd leave us alone. So, but, I mean, you know, most of the people were very, very nice. There was a few nuts, and you know. He just happened to be one of them with a red shirt on. So who knows?
Well, let's talk about a few of the people we hobnobbed with. There's one in particular I want to mention. We had a chance to meet him and his lovely wife, and they're from Las Vegas. They are the Alexanders, John Alexander and Victoria Alexander, his wife. For those that don't know, Dr. Alexander is a retired U.S. Army colonel, where he was involved in some extremely unusual projects. Emphasis on extremely unusual. His career was also at Los Alamos National Laboratory, where his background in non-lethal weapons came into play, and who knows, he may even still be working in that, I don't know. But anyway, kind of a, I don't know, my impression is spooky That's just the sense I got from when I met him. He's a spooky guy. I don't know. What'd you think of him?
Well, you know, when I first came up and introduced myself, because he was over there signing some of his books in the vendors area, and I said, you know, John, and of course, you know, I didn't call him doctor. I just said, hey, John, I'm Dave Rabbit, blah, blah, blah. I just wanted to tell you, because I had knew of his reputation and stuff, and he was ex-military like I am, and I just said, you know, just wanted to, congratulate you on being here, and I'm looking forward to hearing you, you know, when you do your thing. And he went, thanks. I mean, he was very just, you know, never cracked a smile, John. I mean, pretty much like the photo that's on the speaker's list of the Bay Area UFOExpo.com website. And that's exactly how he looked. He never cracked it. Wow, this guy's going to be fun.
Well, you know, there's all sorts of rumors. There's all sorts of rumors about him, you know.
Well, I'll tell you a couple of things that I know.
Well, let me tell you the rumors first before you start.
Okay. All right. Tell me the rumors.
There are rumors that he was Colonel Harold Phillips in Howard Bloom's book Out There, and that he is a member of the Aviary. And possibly a member of MJ-12.
Right.
And this guy's listed, and this is documented. He is listed as being a part of the American Men and Women of Science that were named in Aerospace Laureates by Aviation Week, counselor for the Society for Scientific Exploration. And he has just recently came back from a meeting with shamans in the Peruvian Amazon jungle. Now, that's pretty diverse, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Now, you know what's interesting? The possibility of him being with MJ-12. You know what's interesting about the code name MJ-12?
All right.
It's double that, with the exception of one letter, of MI-6.
And the lack of sound you hear coming right now, Dave?
No, I'm serious. MI6 is the intelligence organization for Britain, is it not?
That is correct.
And, what's the letter after I?
And where J. You were going with that was?
Well, I just think it's interesting that they call it MJ-12, which is double what MI6 is.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
All right. Moving along.
All right, here's a weird thing.
That was
about
a dead horse.
that went south.
It's dead, Jim.
Jim, I'm a doctor, not a
horse. That skit's dead, Jim.
Okay, sorry. Now, I'll tell you something that's really kind of interesting about John Alexander.
Get there, please.
Once he came over and met Mark, and then they have mutual friends, and they talked, and then he came over. Then we met, of course, his wife, Victoria, and then we kind of started socializing a bit with him. There was a period of time, about 2 hours, Jim,
is this when Mark and I would ignore you when we walked by while you were talking
and
to him
and leave me talking with John Alexander one-on-one? But I got to tell you this. Now, I don't care what they say about this guy. I mean, he and I had some real I can't go into the details, but he and I had
why
some
is it top
very,
secret?
It is extremely top secret.
In and fact, he told you.
He said he would deny it if I ever mentioned it, so I'm not going to mention it.
All right.
But
Will you tell me off air?
Well, sure I will. But when I talked to him and we were discussing about you and I doing an interview with him for the ATS Mix Show, which we're going to do, this is something he said he would never, ever discuss. But because I did 3 tours of NAM and he was a NAM at the same time, he told me what they did there. And
Were you shocked?
I don't know if I was shocked simply because I knew a lot of that stuff was going on. But let's say this. It was not something that was in written form on what his job was and what they were doing in Southeast Asia. So I was very captivated by what John had to say. Now, you know, you said you were talking about how some people perceive him
disclosure?
No, about the weapons. Not non-lethal weapons. What is that? NLW?
Yeah, non-lethal weapons, yes.
Okay, which is mind control and that kind of stuff, right?
It may include that. It could.
Okay. All right, well, here's the thing. When we were sitting there, were you there when Victoria said, John, tell them about the 2 people that came up to you at the table?
No.
Okay. John and his wife, Victoria, are now sitting at the AboveTopSecret.com table.
And hawking their books, by the way. Thanks, John.
In hawking their books. which we invited them there because we have a ton of traffic and there wasn't that much traffic on the other side. And he sold quite a few books, as a matter of fact. But his wife said, ask John about the two people that came up. And John told me that one lady came up and really cursed him out a bit, saying that he had destroyed her life because of some kind of alleged mind control thing. And, of course, John told her, I don't know what you're talking about, lady, you know, and she got through with her little ramblings and moved on. And then, not 30 minutes later, another person came up and talked to him, or not a talk would be the wrong word, kind of made some accusations towards John. Now, there was only two out of, and there was what? What do you think there was, John? There were 1,200 people?
I wasn't there.
Not at our table at the convention. 1,200, 1,500 people?
There were a lot of people there. I didn't get the actual count, but they said it was one of their better years, yes.
Right. So, anyway, two out of that group's not bad. But he really said that, you know, these people just came up and just not accosted him, but they got really close to you know, really
A lot of finger-pointing, you're saying.
Yeah, a lot of finger-pointing. But anyway, to make a long story short, I think he's just a great guy, you know, and he really opened up to me, and I can't thank John enough for sharing his confidential stories with me and I with him, and they'll never be publicized, but I think he's a great guy, and I never really liked officers when I was in the military.
Imagine that.
But this guy really, once I got to know him and started seeing some of his humor come out, he was really a decent guy, John.
Well, let's talk about another gentleman that actually was hanging around with Dr. Alexander on that very first night when we were at the Opus event, which was the meet and greet, the speakers thing. By the way, big shout out there to Les Velez. And once again, Les, I want to apologize for during our little snippet interview we did with you, calling you Valdez. For some reason, because we were standing by the coffee shop, I probably go, now make sure, Johnny, you don't call him Juan Valdez. And yeah. Anyway, another gentleman that was with us there, and actually we kind of hung out with him. What was it? The second to the final night, I think we actually had dinner with him, and that is the great, the one and only George Knapp.
Right. Oh, man, I tell you, the Georginator, you know, and we had done the interview with him, and you know, talking about, you know, him and Cullum and the search for the, what is that thing?
Skinwalker.
Skinwalker. Thank you, John. That was one of the people I was so looking forward to meeting because John had already met George, and I had not met George. And even Mark and George had been friends for quite a while, and Mark had not even met George. And we did. We had dinner together. And I'm telling you, this guy, George Knapp, is a class act baby puppy. If you haven't had the chance to meet George or listen to George on Coast to Coast Radio, he usually does the Sunday night, I think, now. But he is just an absolute class act. What a funny guy, and what a gracious person, John, when he you know, came and looked at some of your stuff that you did up in Mount Adams.
One of the reasons why I decided to pick his brain on this and give him a sneak peek before anybody else had had a chance to look at any of this stuff or listen to any of it was because he is such an accredited journalist. I mean, the guy's not only won Emmys, but Peabody Awards. He blew the lid off Area 51. He is number one investigative reporter for KLAS-TV in Las Vegas. 14 times Emmy Award winner. I mean, my God, you know, you don't get to where you're at and win all those type of awards if you're a slacker. So
exactly.
He's definitely no slacker. And then one of the other reasons why Dave and I were interested in him is because of him going out there with Colin Kelleher after NIDS, the National Institute for Discovery Sciences, had been out at Bob Bigelow's place out in that ranch in Utah, which is the basis for the book, The Hunt for the Skinwalker. And in fact, it's affectionately called The Skinwalker Ranch, where all this bizarre stuff happened. So
right.
Since we experienced some bizarre stuff up there in Washington outside of Mount Adams over at Gilliland's place, I want to have George get a sneak peek at some of this stuff, and I just want to hear if what he sees and what he hears is similar to what he had heard or knew of happening at the Skinwalker Ranch, because I've been trying to find a way of tying in some of this phenomena, whether it be paranormal, UFO related, or who knows, multidimensional. I don't know. That's why I'm on this quest. And so, George, thanks a lot for being aces in our books and coming along with us after dinner to listen to that. In fact, I think he made a statement on Coast to Coast on Sunday night about hanging out with us and listening to and watching some of our stuff.
What people need to understand is he's been hounded all day. He did both. I think he did a lecture and a workshop both that weekend. And I mean, he was constantly in demand, and people are constantly coming up to him. And I mean, his eyes, you know, are bloodshot because he's just literally worn out. And then we have a dinner that lasted a couple of hours.
Well, we closed down the place.
Yeah, we closed it down after Fred T., moderator Fred T., and our good friend.
Oh, yes. Hi, Fred.
Hi, Fred, was there and brought some of his wine collection, which everybody really had a good time with that except for me. I just had him put like a half an inch in there where I could swirl
around. I believe
around
you kept calling it, yes, just give me a smidgen.
A smidgen, yeah, I had a smidgen. I don't really like wine, but Fred, I've got to tell you, I did taste all of them, and boy, you made a great selection as always. Plus, we got a tremendous education about the thing about the length of the cork. I didn't. What are you laughing about? I'm talking about the corks in the bottle.
I know that.
Well, what are you laughing about?
You're just funny. Out of all the history and all the education that we got, it's the corks that stuck in your mind.
Well, I thought it was kind of funny. So anyway, do we want to mention that?
No,
we won't.
No, we don't.
Okay, very good. All right, well, that's for a private conversation. If you want to ask Johnny and I sometime about the private party that happened. But anyway, what I was going to say is, you know, we closed the place down. It's like, what, 2 a.m., John, or 1?
No.
Something like
that. We got there at dinner at 9, so it was okay, probably 11:30.
Anyway, he was tired, but yet the class of this guy, he said, no, I want to come see this stuff. I want to come see what Johnny did.
So we had our good friend Rob Mitchell, who's in charge of all the audio.
Let's
video.
Say hello to Rob.
Hi, Rob. Big shout out
hey,
to Rob.
Bob.
Rob's also aces in the ATS books. And for those that may or may not have remembered or failed to catch it in some of our previous episodes, but Rob Mitchell is the gentleman that introduced Stephen, better known as Cracker, and Mark Allen, better known as Springer, to Clifford Stone and all the Freedom of Information Act documents that are at his place in Roswell, New Mexico. In fact, you can read all about that. There is a sticky note or a paperclip. What do they call it on ATS? Every forum's got a different name. I think is it paperclipped when it can't move on a thread?
No, they call it a top. It's a top thread.
Okay, top. All right. Well, it's been topped in the aliens and UFOs, and it says ATS team in Roswell, New Mexico with Clifford Stone. And I suggest you check that out. Clifford, wonderful man. And anyway, so because of Rob Mitchell, those introductions were made. Rob knows a lot of people in the amount of time and days that he's worked in, not just in the top secret area, but also since he's moved into the public area of providing productions for all these different conferences. So he was very gracious enough to give us a private locked room with a big screen, and it was just us. It was one of the lecturing rooms. So we all got a chance to sit down there. The only thing we didn't get was we weren't able to hook up the audio properly to be able to get the full effect of what was being heard. So we were having to listen to the audio coming from the projector, which is, you know, not much better than listening to an AM, portable AM radio. But George seemed to be kind of impressed by the audio, which kind of blew me away and made me feel kind of good. So anyway.
And he mentioned that on his Sunday night show on Coast.
Oh, did he?
Well, yeah. He in fact, his comments were that, you know, when he's giving kind of his brief summary of his participation in the week. You know, of course, he gave each of us a shout out to you, Mark, and I, of course. And then he talks about y'all's trip up to Mount Adams and says that the audio, which people, is it up now, John, or not? The audio?
I talked to Skeptic Overlord earlier today, and he was still having just a small minor problem with one of the last videos. So I'm expecting that.
Waka waka.
Waka waka. Why did I do ah?
Yeah. Anyway.
By the way, I got to just get this off my chest right now, Dave Rabbit.
Oh, God.
Apparently, and I did not know I did this. Perhaps it's a subconscious thing. But, you know, we're doing interviews with all sorts of different great lecturers, authors, guests. And if I hear something that, to me, makes a point, or there is like a revelation, a light bulb that goes off in my head, I will respond by that by going, ah, well, every time I've done this for, the past 6 months or so, and I didn't even realize that I did that, you know, I guess it was involuntary, but Dave would lower his microphone, and then when he'd come back on, he would still be snickering, and I couldn't understand it, so I finally pinned him down the other day to find out what the hell was up. What is up with the rabbit here? And so, Dave, would you like to tell everybody this revelation of yours?
I would love to, because Now you're really self-conscious about it. And now, every time you do it, I'm going to go waka waka. He sounds exactly like the original Muppet movie between Kermit the Frog and Fozzie Bear. Because Kermit the Frog will say something, and then Fozzie Bear will go, ah. And that's what John sounds like, ah. And so every time John did it from after I told him so, I would start going waka waka, which was kind of a throwback to Fozzie Bear. So anyway, he didn't know he was doing it. In fact, we had a little private party after the event was over on Sunday night out by the pool before we got run off by the security police out there because we were keeping some stewardess up.
Are you talking about when we got initiated into a secret society?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you actually even remember the name?
Opus?
No. But we're not supposed to talk about it anyway. I was just curious.
Why'd you ask me what the name was? You're trying to get me thrown out of the club.
Yes.
I see how this game goes. Next year, the Dave is not out there at the poolside party. Okay. But, you know, we fast forward a little bit. I want to backtrack and just simply say back to the George Knapp thing.
Yes.
That what a class guy he was to sit there.
Aces in our book.
Yeah. And so, George, we just can't thank you enough for your professionalism, your courtesy, and most especially for giving us a shout out on the Coast to Coast last Sunday night. Okay, now fast forward back to where we were. Rob Mitchell, what a tremendous person you were, and what a great conversation you and I had about Vietnam and those kind of things. And I give you a salute, my brother, because, boy, you know, I went through some things, but, boy, not near the stuff that you went through. So my salute to you and my respect always, Rob.
Do you have more?
Yeah, and then fast forward up to the Sunday night party. It was a
I have more to talk about before we get to the party.
Well, I know, but you want to backtrack now to something we've missed along the way, right?
Well, you're the one that fast forwarded us all the way to the last day.
I know, but I get so excited because there's some things I want to talk about. Go ahead, John.
Well, get a napkin. I got to tell you that this one experience, we ran into Dr. Roger Lear. Dr. Lear and his surgical team, you know, have pulled out, I think, in, what is it, 16 surgeries. They've removed objects out of people who alleged had alien abductions. And of course, these objects that have been yanked out have – or not yanked out. That's not a true surgical way of doing things, but that have been removed. It's been under a lot of scrutiny. And even Dr. Lear himself, excuse me, has been scrutinized quite a bit. I think what he is doing is pretty neat and pretty cool. And that goes despite what any of you guys think. But anyway, so we interviewed him last year. At the end of our interview, we were through. We were through with our interview.
Right.
We shut off our machines and everything. And Dr. Lear turns to Dave and ask him about a little spot that he had on his arm. And what did you say, Dave?
Well, I told him, you know, that I had what was considered a close encounter of the second time, seeing flying saucers when I was very, very young, 5 years old. Because that was the first thing he said. He said, have you ever seen or had any contact with UFOs? And then I related the story to him. He said that in his experience, a lot of the people that have implants are people that have seen UFOs and may, in fact, not realize that they have been abducted, implanted, and put back in wherever they're at without even knowing it. And he found something on my arm that he thought might be an implant.
He could feel something underneath your skin,
yeah,
too.
It was weird. It was weird. I mean, it really started freaking me out, you know.
So he suggested to Dave, pardon me while I interrupt because I want to make this shorter.
I love it.
He suggested to Dave to go in, just get either an X-ray or a CAT scan, something along there to see if they could get a better look at what this product was, this item was underneath his skin. So this year, we're inside, and were we in the vendor room? I think we might have been in the vendor room, but there's Dr. Lear. Dave's standing off to the doorway. I'm in the vendor room talking with Dr. Lear, and Dave goes, Dr. Lear, how you doing? By the way, I never did anything with that implant. And what did Dr. Lear tell you?
He gave me the three-finger salute.
No. Do you not really pay any attention to when people
talk
to you?
What do you think I am? Can read lips? I don't know what he said. What did he say, John?
He told you to leave it in there.
Oh. Well, I didn't hear that, you know.
Well, you responded to him and you said, oh, okay.
I know, but that doesn't mean I heard what he said.
You know, I'm really worried about you, Dave.
I was being polite. I was being polite.
You just nod your head a lot and go, uh-huh, but you're not. It doesn't sink in, does it?
All right, now I have one question, John. Speaking of the
as you avoid my question, yes, well, go ahead.
No, speaking of the vendor's room,
yes.
What the hell was the sauna about? What did it have to do with UFOs?
I don't know. I didn't experience it.
I mean, there was a vendor in there that had a wooden steam chamber or something, and I never could figure out what the hell that has to do with the UFO Expo.
Okay.
Unless it had rockets underneath it. Okay, now can I make a comment about
well, don't take us to the party yet.
Another speaker. I'm not going to the – what party? Oh, I'm not going to the party. No, okay.
You don't even listen to yourself when you talk. Oh, my God.
Who cares? And I don't want you to – I want you to tell the story also before we get through doing whatever we're going to do to finish this show up with whatever we're going to do. I want you to tell the story about when we're out there on the patio before we get to that party. Okay, anyway.
Well, actually, that happened after the party.
Who cares? Yeah, that's right. You're right. Okay. I have always believed this is going to be Dave steps on a minor soapbox. I have always believed.
All right. Well, I'll shut off the microphone. I'm going to go over here and get a drink.
Wait. Why are you shutting your microphone off for? What are you going
to
do?
So you don't hear me get up out of my chair as I walk over to get a glass of water.
Yeah. Shut it off. All right, here we go.
Hey, for the rest of you folks, you can join me if you want. Dave will still be talking in 5 minutes.
No, I won't.
Bye-bye, Dave. Right. I'm clicking off now. Go for it.
Yeah. Whatever. Okay. Here's the deal, folks. I have always been a believer that I want to learn things for myself or make up my own opinions about people. Now, I had over the previous last year and a half, had been told different things about the gentleman that goes by David Icke. And some of them were positive, and some of them were negative. And so he was one of the people that had this huge following that came to the Bay Area UFO Expo. And I mean, it was that place was packed. You couldn't have got a sardine in there. It was so packed. And one of the things that I recorded just about an hour's worth, he had like a 7 or 8 hour marathon event over 2 days. But I personally sat there and listened for about an hour of his very first one. And I have to tell you honestly that I can see why a lot of people really have a huge belief structure in what David Icke has to say. Doesn't mean I agreed with everything that he said, but I can see why. This man is absolutely mesmerizing, and he has this visual slide presentation that goes on with the points that he's making. Now, he didn't touch on any subjects that I had been told about that were, let's say, maybe belonged or property or research of other individuals. But he talked about some generality kind of stuff. And I can see why these people are just absolutely so mesmerized by this guy, because he really is an amazing speaker. Now, whether his stuff is, hooey, or whether it's factual, or whether you believe or don't believe, the gentleman himself really can keep people interested in what he has to say. And so my estimation was, taking the things that I heard about him, pro and con, I was impressed with his presentation, and more than impressed with the amount of people that came there strictly to hear what he had to say. And John, are you back from the bathroom?
Oh, of course. Yet?
Okay. Shall we tell them at this stage, which is a segue right into it, that there was an individual that came there to strictly hear David Icke?
If you feel so inclined.
Okay. You never know who's going to show up at a Bay Area UFO convention. And without making big, huge fanfare, one of the people that came was our own Robbie Williams. And Robbie was there with his girlfriend, his parents. We got to meet his parents, which was really a thrill. His dad's just really a hoot. Actually got to have breakfast with them on Saturday. And Robbie was there strictly to go and be a part of the David Icke experience. In fact, Robbie knows David. And before David ever started, he came back to the back where Robbie and his family were sitting away from the mainstream people to keep from being recognized and whatever. And they gave each other a hug and whatever. And I didn't know until he talked, John. Now, this is what's really weird. I had never heard the man before, right? I didn't realize he was British. So then it started clicking. Everything started clicking about why Robbie was there, because he was a fellow Brit. But anyway, it was just a tremendous pleasure for me. John had already met Robbie, so had Mark and Cracker and Steve-O. It was a chance for me to meet him. And I tell you, I was really just blown away by Robbie. I'm not a stalker kind of person on these kind of entities and these kind of people. But he's just a really super, super nice guy, and his family was absolutely magnificent. So, Robbie, shout out to you, my brother. I just really wish that we hadn't lost the photograph taken of the three of us. So,
yeah, unfortunately, that did turn out to be one of those photographs. Like I said, it was almost like somebody had literally, and I'm not trying to start some conspiracy here. There is probably some legitimate reason as to why this actually happened. But if one were to lean towards a conspiracy, it was almost like somebody went in, turned on my camera, and deleted all the photographs except those of Mark and Dave. Right. And almost any photograph that had an ATS member in it was on there. And like I said, that was only about five or six photographs that we took, and including the one photograph I got of Few New World Order, right? Is that, or not new,
right.
But Few World Order, excuse me. World Order, right. He brought the Bush beans, is that not correct?
Yeah, and got 25,000 points
right
for that. Now, John, you know, there was two other people, and then we'll go on to the party thing. There was two other people that I was just really blown away with, and one is a good friend of yours, Ruben Uriotti.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, what a fabulous guy, John. I mean, I know you know him for a long time, but, boy, I was just really blown away.
We've actually been out on the field together a couple times,
right,
looking for UFOs.
Yeah. I totally just was blown away by Ruben. And, Ruben, if you happen to be listening to the show, I just can't tell you what an honor it was to finally meet you. And we are going to be doing a show with Ruben and talk about the Mexico UFO thing, which we have promised Ruben we're going to do somewhere down the way. And the other person, John, and then I'll toss it
by
to
the way,
you.
By the way, let me just clarify that.
Oh,
it's called the Mexican Roswell.
Mexican Roswell UFO, yeah. You say potato, I say potato. And the other person that really blew me away, which Johnny and I had not met, Mark and Steve-O had met, was Clifford Stone. And I'm telling you, this guy absolutely, I said earlier David Icke had really kind of mesmerized me with his presentation, but I was totally blown away by the documents that Clifford had up on the big screens and going through and telling and showing people from all this data that he's collected over 25, 30, 40 years, whatever, that shows that people in the Pentagon and whatever knew about UFOs and all the things and the attempts they were making to diminish it being seen by the public. And that blew me away, John. Really,
well, you know,
did.
There's a lot of people that probably don't know this, but, you know, besides being a decorated Vietnam vet, I believe he served for about 22 years, he led a double life from 1960-something or another through his retirement back in 1990. And that's when he was officially assigned to NBC. And he worked with their team in the nuclear, biological, and I believe chemical hazard retrievals and abatement
right.
detail.
Right.
And it was during that time he was still serving on top secret UFO crash retrieval missions. And he has had, at least so claims, to have physical contact with downed ET craft, where he actually interacted directly with captured non-human life forms. I mean, the story, and you know what? The gentleman is just sincerely a nice guy.
Right.
I mean, you would never know that this man held a top secret title. You would never known. In fact, you would have passed him by on the street, not knowing that you just passed by an extremely intelligent and important person in our search for UFO truth. just a wonderful man, very religious, very spiritual man, not afraid to give you a God bless you when he after you have met and he's ready to walk away, but a very sincere man. I love Cliff. I think he's a great guy.
Yeah, I didn't know we had to do a disclaimer.
Yeah, that's why I thought I would do
that. The only other person I want to mention, and I definitely want to try to interview him down the way too, and that's Robert Perella.
Yeah.
Boy, what a tremendous guy Robert
is. Great psychic.
You know, he and I talked numerous times, but we never really talked about what he really has the expertise in. But I'll tell you one quick story, and then I'll throw it to you for the party and then what we said out there on the balcony or whatever. There was a guy sitting next, and I'm going to put the photograph up. But there was a guy next to the – I guess it has something to do with my Saigon days. But there was a guy next to us at the AboveTopSecret.com's website table that had like a massage area or whatever and some kind of significance to – I don't know what the hell he was trying to do. But anyway, he knew Robert, and he had given him last year – a birthday present of a massage. Well, he's got Robert Perella up there on his massage table.
Now, keep in mind, folks, this is right, 3 feet away from our table.
Right. And Robert is screaming his guts out like he's having, you know, like someone stepping on his nards or something, you know? And I keep looking over, I'm going, Robert, are you okay? Are you okay? He's going, man, he's pulling my feet, you know, and I'm going, well, what the hell's this guy doing? And I mean, he was stretching his spine and whatever. Now, I'm going to post the photograph, but I got to tell you, he had a couple of products on the table, folks. It really drew some real funny and unusual comments.
Well, you're talking about being able to work on one spine.
Yeah, the onyx things that you rub along your back of your leg and your spine. And actually, the display thing shows that you taking the, well, I guess I can say that, taking the shaft of this product and beating yourself on the shoulders and back with it. But anyway, there was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people coming up and down the hallway over the 2 days. And I'm, you know, I'm telling you, I wish I had a dollar for everything.
I want to share one thing about Robert.
All right, but all right. Somebody said something about these two products, and I'm going to post them. I don't think we can use it as a caption contest because we're just not going to be able to use it as a caption contest, but I'm going to post it. But anyway, Robert was just a sweet, wonderful guy. What a great personality, and I'm really looking forward to us trying to get him on the show somewhere.
Now, if a lot of you don't know what Robert looks like,
we're going to post the photographs of him.
Are you? Okay.
Well, sure.
Well, there's going to be an awful lot of damn photos in. If you want to take a look at Robert, you can also go to the website TheBayAreaUFOExpo.com and then click under speakers, and it has a list and photographs and the bios of all the people that we're talking about and many, many more. But I want to just share this one thing about Robert. When Robert turns around, his side profile looks just like, I believe it's Neil Diamond.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's what I thought. I saw this gentleman walking by, and I was only catching a side profile, and I go, holy mackerel, Neil Diamond's here? And it was Robert Perella. I asked him if he ever got mistaken. He goes, yes, all the time.
And there was a guy that was right across in the one that had the weird hair that looked like the guy from Waterworld that was trying to buy the little girl, you know, the little duck hair.
What are you talking about?
The guys in the white coats that were across the way from us.
The laboratory guys, yes. What about them?
The laboratory guys, the laboratory coats, whatever the hell that purpose was. But there was some guy over there that was a dead ringer for Jack Warden, too. So it was really kind of a lookalike day for Johnny and I. Okay, anyway, back to tell him about the party, and then tell him about...
Well, I can't really tell you too much about the party because I showed up. Dave is already in his element and doing his thing. I walked in, and Dave motions for me to come over. I come over. The first things I don't hear are, how you doing? How's your sister? Nothing like the usual Dave Rabbit that I'm used to. I hear, Johnny, you need to talk to this guy. And I turn around, and here's this guy looking at me. And I don't mean this offensively, but there is something weird about this guy's eyes.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, it turns out that this guy is the president of some Tesla society in the Bay Area. Nothing against you, George. All right. George. I think his name was George. Anyway, he wants, I guess what had happened was Dave told him that in order for anything to come across ATS Mix, oh, you need to talk to my partner, Johnny Anonymous. He'll be here shortly. So as soon as he introduces me, Dave turns around and pretty much leaves me here with this guy who ends up talking my ear off for, and not that the subject matter was not fascinating, as Merv Griffin would say, but it was our wind down hour. You know, I mean, this was the end of the expo. The last thing I really wanted to do was talk shop. I wanted a Diet Pepsi, you know, socialize a little bit and then go to bed. So after this guy's talked my ear off for a half an hour, I told him, hey, George, I've been listening to you, you know, for quite a while. You've got to wrap this up in 3 minutes, and I do have a stopwatch, and I'm starting it now. And I started it when it got to the three-minute mark. And I'm sorry, George, I wasn't trying to be rude or anything with you, but my God, my partner's name is Dave Rabbit, and I have to listen from point A to point B, be a world round trip venture anyway. I was not in the mood to hear your venture do likewise. So, and then of course, I believe I gave you the finger, Dave, as I was walking out and go, and I said,
times.
I'm out of here.
Several times.
Yeah. I took off and I was going to go to my room, and I believe you said, oh, there's a pool party going on. And I said, well, hey, look, if I'm not there in 10 minutes, start without me. I'm heading off to the room. Because you're in your element, Dave. You know, I mean, you're doing your shiny, entertaining Dave thing.
I'm in my mood.
Yeah.
I'm in my mode.
And I'm sure you did just fine. But I got a little claustrophobic. There was, like, just way too many people in that presidential suite for me. And so I jammed. As I'm walking down to get to the area to take the elevator to my room, you do walk by the glass windows that separates you from the outdoor pool area. And here's Ruben Ariarty, Springer. Robert Mitchell, another gentleman, and I'm sorry for the life of me, your name escapes me, and I'm sorry, it'll probably come to me here in a few seconds. But anyway, they're all there, and they're motioning to me to come by. And that's where I ended up some weird way getting initiated into some weird secret society, and that was strange. And then Dave ended up showing up about 20, 30 minutes later, and
with
I think
John
you even
Alexander.
Got initiated. You got initiated also into the club, did you not?
Yeah, and I had John Alexander with me.
He didn't get initiated into the
club. He didn't get initiated. No, they were very secretive when John was there.
This is another one of those strange deals. I'm taking scads of photographs, and none of those photographs are on my camera.
Except for the one that you took of me and John Alexander, and the ones that
you
took
of
my camera.
That's right. That is the only one. Wow. I'm going to blame John.
And then Ruben took the picture of you, me, and Mark.
And that one turned out.
Yeah, and him trying to hold the bottle down low enough where it doesn't get, you know, shown in the picture.
Right.
Which he didn't have it that low because you can see the bottle.
Well, I was planning on cropping that out, but thanks for sharing, Dave.
Well, you know, well, they know we're at a party. We're talking. I mean, you know, I mean, they know Mark. They don't. What do you think you're going to be drinking, Dr. Pepper? He ain't drinking Dr. Pepper.
Well, listen, we've got ourselves about an hour right about now.
You want to tell one final story, which is
I wasn't planning on it.
Well, but you tell it better than I do because
which
I didn't realize I had actually done it. The one where after they kick us out from the pool, and we're standing out there, and the creepy guy comes out.
No, we don't want to share that one. No, let's keep that because that
funny?
Was a club. No, that's a part of our secret club thing.
Oh man,
what happens in the club stays in the club.
Okay, can I do one thing?
If it doesn't have to deal with the club,
no, it won't. Dun 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 dun. Dun 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 dun. That's all I can tell you. I've been
sorry.
ATS update. ATS update. ATS update. ATS update.
So anyway, one of the things I want to point out here before we get into our UFO sightings reports, Dave, is that Springer has posted a new thread on ATS, which goes right along with what we posted, I guess. I don't know. How long ago was the first thread that was posted? Was it 3 weeks ago?
Was it? Yeah, that's about right. 3 weeks. Yeah, that's probably right.
Anyway, it took an awful long time. And what we're talking about is, of course, the ATS investigative report out in Washington, out at Trout Lake by Mount Adams, along with Robbie Williams and his crew.
Right.
And for 120-plus hours, of course, I've been staring at two trees in a mountain and getting pretty mushy-brained. But we finally were able to get some compression and some problems that we experienced done, and Springer posted up a new link and a new thread, and it is entitled ATS and Robbie Williams UFO Investigation, Round 2 of Gilliland Videos.
Right.
And we want to encourage everybody, please, to go check out that new thread, because there is some very intriguing stuff that you folks will enjoy.
Right.
In fact, what in your opinion was the most intriguing thing out of the new series of videos and audios that were there?
Well, I think there's five new ones, John, if memory serves.
Five or six? Something like that. Mm-hmm.
I like of course, I'm real fond of your getting away from everybody moments when you sit there in your SUV and you sit there with the camera started and you're giving your assessment, private assessment, because you don't want people to hear you. I mean, that's not UFO, but it's because I know you and love you like I do, John. I mean, it's these moments where you sit there and you just do gut-wrenching things. To me, that's the most fun for me as your partner, is to see you kind of open your soul. Now, of the videos, I really like the one where the object kind of does a straight up and then does a real fast jut to the left, I believe. Maybe it's to the right. And then, you know, disappears behind the mountain or whatever. I thought that was pretty interesting, especially since every person of any knowledge whatsoever knows that satellites do not change direction. And that was a pretty sharp change for any kind of bird or anything like that. So that one intrigued me the most. But, of course, the audio really is the one that really blew me away. And it blew me away when you first sent it to me a couple of weeks ago after you first discovered it. And I made a post in that thing and simply told people, even though you do a better job of explaining things than I do, that, you know, the authenticity to me is, John, everybody's sitting there carrying on conversations and no one says, hey, did you hear that? Yeah. Or what was that? You right. know, nobody does that. And it's only until you start doing your post-production and you hear it that you hear it. And to me, that's what gives it so much authenticity. And I guarantee you, and I'm not speaking on behalf of George Knapp or Coast to Coast or any of their sponsors or whatever, but when George Knapp says, when we first presented to him, that's weird, you know, that is really interesting.
One of the things I want to touch on real quick is you had mentioned about the object that flew overhead and went back behind the mountain.
Right.
It was a very... I don't know if it was small because of the altitude it was flying at or what, because there's no real right. way that we were able to triangulate to figure out where exactly what type of altitude these things were flying at, which to me is a big bummer. But the fact that whenever it is first seen on the camera and then appears to go back behind the mountain, it travels that distance, which is 13.5 miles from our point of view, right. to the other side of the mountain in literally, just, you know, maybe a second and a half to 2 seconds. It's that quick. So I don't see how, if it indeed is an object that is captured that does indeed go back behind the mountain, that thing is zipping to be able to travel that kind of distance, 13.5 miles, in just a few seconds.
Right.
And that, to me, I think, is what intrigued me the most. I'm sure that there will be a lot of people that are just going to poo-poo it as saying it's a bug or a bird. And that's fine. I have no problem with that.
Right.
But there's just so many things that happen out there at the Gilliland Ranch that are unexplained. And that is why we are posting it for the members and guests that come by AboveTopSecret.com to add their two cents to it, you know, to right. Play armchair analyst. Of course, we would like there to be possibly a little bit of backing to whatever they say, for example.
Or intelligence.
Yes, exactly. Because... just to say, oh, that's just a bug, that doesn't right. really do mm-hmm. anything to yeah. enhancing the research yeah. and the analysis.
Oh, look, it's Britney Spears. She doesn't have any underwear on again. Yeah, okay, we've seen that.
Yeah, now, if that is yeah. true and that is the case, what we need is a photograph of such,
I love that. But, you know, John, you asked me, and now that my brain is clicking in, you know, the one I really love, it's really high on my list, and that's the one where you attempt to debunk your own work with the big, huge butt ball that you had.
Pilates ball?
Whatever. And the can, you know. Now, I have to take issue, John. The only thing I have issue is I don't believe that was a spaghetti can at all. I believe that was one of the discarded Bush bean cans that James Gilliland had stashed away. So that's my only exception to that. But you know what I really thought was funny? I mean, I laughed my ass off. It's when you say, okay, I was thinking to myself, how the hell is he going to do this and not bore everybody? And all of a sudden, you put it in like 10 times fast forward speed, and here you are going out to the tree. And then I'm sitting there saying,
we got to tell everybody that it's about a quarter mile. It's 15 yards shy of being a quarter mile.
I didn't think you were going to show you walking all the way out there, John. But that was funny as hell. You sitting there, zzz, you know, it's like one of these zombie movies, you know, except they're all zombied up. And then I was trying to figure out, how the hell are we going to see that can from a quarter of a mile away?
Exactly.
You know? Now, I never saw the can, John.
You can see just a very short nanosecond of a reflection off the can when I first toss it up.
I'm sure you can, but I never saw it.
Right.
Now, I did not even see the big ball going up the air. Now,
really?
I didn't, but I'm sitting there looking around trying to figure out where the hell you're going to throw it. I see this little midget in the background going back and forth to the left. I didn't know where you were throwing it up at. But where I did get a crystal clear look is when you did that stop action thing where you had Johnny ball, tree ball. Now, when you did that little graphic, I said, oh, well, there's the ball. Sure, I can see it from there. Now, that was a hell of a lot larger than anything that we saw in your video captures, you know.
What, the ball or the objects?
The ball.
So you think that the ball was larger than the objects?
Than the objects you captured, yes. I disagree with you. Well, see, that's because the only thing I had to reference is that stop action thing where you drew everybody's identity to whatever it was.
The only problem I had, this is the one thing.
Then maybe that's why I didn't see it. I only saw the one of the stop action one. So well, in other words, is it smaller than that when you look at it on the video?
When you look at that stop motion graphic, and here again, we don't know exactly where the placement of these objects were in comparison to where I was with that ball.
Right.
But the main reason why I did that was I was hoping, okay, if we can get this, even if it was just the size of the medicine ball from that distance, and here again, we're only guesstimating from our POV, our point of view, I was hoping to prove that whatever these things were larger than a bug, a bird flying around that tree, because obviously a 2.5-3 foot wide ball,
right?
You'd have to be a pretty damn big bird. You'd have to be an eagle.
Let me ask you a question. Sidebar: Was the camera the exact distance that it was originally when you did the original captures?
Absolutely.
Okay. So the photograph that you did, that was obviously larger than it was.
Yes, I zoomed in on that.
Okay. See, that's why I saw the damn ball. See, I never saw the ball, John. That ball was huge.
Now, well, that was part of the reason for my doing it, to show that from that distance a quarter mile away, it would make that ball just so small. I mean, you said you didn't see the can, and you said you didn't see the ball.
I'm blind as a bat without glasses, so you know that's my excuse. But I have to say one thing about that medicine ball, John.
All right.
You did see the movie Casino Royale with Peter Sellers, the one where it was a spoof of the James Bond things. Okay, remember when all the Scotsmen and everything, and they're sitting there throwing that medicine ball thing?
Vaguely.
Peter Sellers is out there with the Scotsmen.
Vaguely.
And they're swinging to the left and right. This was an empty medicine ball, right? I mean, it was like one that you blow up, right?
Yes.
But I was going to say, man, if you toss that sucker up that high, wow, Wheaties for breakfast for you, baby puppy. I mean, that was... I was like, how the hell did he throw it that damn high? That damn thing's got to weigh at least 5 or 6 pounds. Okay, so it was an empty one. Okay, good.
All right. Anyway, we want to encourage everybody, if they can, to come by and check that out.
Yeah.
The thread is up there. It's already garnering, I think at this time of the recording of this, it's already gotten 3 pages. It's probably going to be about 5 or 6 pages by the time you folks are listening to this show. And we encourage you, if you have an opinion and would like to kind of back that up with either your own personal experience or with a bit of science, that would be the preferable thing we would like, is to have some type of expertise in science thrown in the back with your statement. Yeah. That would be great.
Yeah. In other words, we don't want any liar, pants on fire BS, right, John?
Well, I wouldn't have really referred it in that connotation, but sure, that sounds great.
All right. Well, I know we got some. What do we got? Some sightings coming up here, John.
We have some UFO sightings. Yes, indeed.
Okay. Well, before we get to them, we want to tell everybody that this is only part one of the Bay Area UFO Expo thing.
Yeah, this has been more or less kind of like a coffee chat.
Yeah, yeah, it really is, because next week is our 100th show, and John is heavily involved in trying to find things off the floor that we can bleep enough out of it and still make sense. For the 100th show. And by the way, if you haven't
had a chance...
I have a
feeling there'll be a lot of bleeping on that.
Oh, there's a lot of bleeping. But if you haven't had a chance, folks, to call in and leave us a voicemail message on being a part of the 100th show and congratulating us, condoning us, we don't care at this stage. But you can call toll-free in the United States and Canada at 877-417-2204. That's 877-417-2204. 417-2204, and that's free for the United States and Canada. You can say, hey, this is, give your ATS name. Congratulations, Dave and Johnny. You guys are rock and roll, or whatever you want to say. We'd like it to be positive, because if it's negative, it ain't going on the show. So you can be negative if you want to, but it's going to go in the crapper, because we ain't going to put it up, baby puppy. And like I said, next week's show is going to be the 100th show. So we are going to – John's going to have to really make some time to do all his masterful editing and getting the best parts of. We are going to be showcasing on show 101, which is 2 weeks from when you hear this show. We will be actually – taking you into the room with us for about 6 or 7 or whatever John thinks he can find that's worthwhile lectures of some of the guests that were there at the Bay Area UFO Expo. And, of course, John and I will be giving our 2 cents into it also. And I guess we want to, at this stage also, John, want to congratulate, I think we did in the first segment of this coffee chat thing, a few world order again for bringing us a can of Bush Beans, being the very first one, and we thank you, and also want to thank Synthesis and his daughter Rachel, and of course all the marvelous ATS members that came by to say hi. So
I also want to give a quick shout out to Zero Ghost. Zero Ghost and his wife were there, and he is a member here at ATS, and he showed me some very incredible footage that I found very interesting. In fact, here's a little side note. I don't know if I've shared this. But I will. We've had some pretty weird things that have happened, and I mentioned earlier about the camera, and the photographs not showing up except in weird spots, which it shouldn't have. It should have either not taken any or whatever. Anyway, when we were doing some conversion on the audio portion, we had no problems at all with the video portion of this second series of videos. But both Skeptic Overlord, while he was doing the conversions and whatnot, every time he kept coming up to this audio portion, it would crash his computer for whatever reasons. And apparently that happened a number of times. I experienced some not necessarily similar incidences, but I had some problems also when I was recording this onto the hard drive to then try to do the proper editing. When other folks have listened to this audio being played on their PC or their laptop by means of like a CD or a DVD in other cases, it crashes their computer. Now, why that happens, I would even begin to throw some conjecture that way, although I will share this experience, and that was while we were at the expo. As I said earlier, Zero Ghost showed me some fairly incredible footage that he had captured and some nice shots. And so I played for him. I showed him some of the footage and audio that we were going to be having brought up in the second series, after I first made him do a pinky swear, and I believe there was bloodletting that was also involved in this, slashing the wrist and grasping the palms, you know, blood brother type thing.
Yeah, I love that thing.
Make that promise.
I love that.
When everything goes fine as he's playing the DVD until he gets to the audio and it crashes his computer several times. So here again, I don't know what it is about this audio, but there appears to be something. And what that something is, I don't even want to attempt to try to add some conjecture as to what that is. But I found that very, very bizarre and very interesting. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Yeah, I mean, Twilight Zone, baby. But yeah, in fact, the Billinator, I mean, he tried, what, for over a week to get this damn thing.
Yeah, he actually had to send it off to a buddy that of his that used to work for him in the advertising firm that he had.
Right.
And it apparently crashed his computer. And these guys were working on Macintoshes. So it does not seem to be discriminating as to whether it's a Macintosh or a PC that it gets played on. It wants to... So.
Wow. Well, that just goes to show you, it doesn't matter what commercial you listen to, whether you buy a Mac or a PC, this was a weird puppy.
That's a very weird puppy.
It is a bit weird puppy.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's all I got, John.
You're
so
spent?
Whenever you wanna, well, yeah, I'm spent. I've done. flip me over, baby. So, just why don't you take us into our UFO sightings, and then we'll go from there.
Well, we'll just say goodnight, Gladys Jean.
I love Gladys Jean. Good night, baby puppies.
Here's the UFO sightings for you.
This is ATS Mix.
What? Whoa, whoa, what am I hearing?
What is this?
From above, topsecret.com.
Ah, crap!
Here are your anomalous sightings
from around the world.
This is Tamriel from Godbox Cafe with sightings from across Canada. The following reports were submitted to UFOinfo.com on September 28th. In Burlington, Ontario, at 10:30 p.m., a witness who had previously contributed two light sightings from their balcony offered up a very different description on this particular night. The report provided a detailed description of two triangular-shaped objects with lights running along the sides without meeting at the front. The witness realized they were uniform, with one set much higher and smaller than the other. According to the witness, they were pale, immense, and almost undetectable to the eye, and could be, quote, sensed, unquote, before they were seen. The feeling on the part of the witness was gut-wrenching on realizing that this must be some unearthly pair of objects. In Toronto, just before dawn that same day, two witnesses looking out over Lake Ontario spotted what seemed to be three craft in the sky. The first was round, hovering motionless and blinking, while the second would enlarge while blinking into a spectrum of translucent colors. The third large object appeared triangular with squared corners, moved silently towards the other two, and then dimmed out of view entirely, while the others maintained for a while longer, then also disappeared. Lastly, in Waterloo, Ontario, at 10:45 p.m., one witness was walking home on a clear night and looked up to see a large bright object passing quickly overhead. It was only in view for no more than 3 seconds before passing over a tall apartment building and out of sight. No lights or noise accompanied its flight path, and according to the witness, it was too large to be a shooting star, nor did it have the tail of light behind it. This is Tamriel from Godbox Cafe, keeping my eyes to the skies for AboveTopSecret.com.
Here are the latest U.S. UFO sightings for AboveTopSecret.com. In Florida, an observer stated, "When I just so happen to look up in the sky like I do every night to look at the stars, flying right overhead at the exact time I looked up was what I thought looked like birds flying in V formation at first glance. But I quickly realized that there was something wrong with how fast they were flying and how it looked. The duration of what I saw was pretty brief and lasted with direct flight for about 6 to 10 seconds in my field of view. If I had to guess how far up above me it was, I would have to say around 15,000 feet or close to it. There were 5 lights that had one in front leading, with 2 on each opposing sides forming off to make a V in the sky, and never once broke formation. Now this part is really going to sound really strange, and I have a hard time believing it myself, but the lights were not bright at all. As a matter of fact, it had the same effect effect to them as when you see on movies and a spaceship has a cloaking device activated. It was that effect that made me at first think that it was birds flying. It was flying from northwest to east, and I followed it with eyes from first sight till I lost sight of it continuing east over a tree line. What I saw was not accompanied with any sound whatsoever, no flashing lights or no distinguishable shape except for the V formation that it was in. I still can't get what I saw out of my head, nor can I wrap my brain around it. And the fact that it looked somewhat cloaked was just something I could not believe right out of the movies. And it moved pretty rapidly and very steady across the sky. I don't know what I saw, but I can guarantee that it wasn't a flock of birds, and definitely not an airplane. This has been David C. for AboveTopSecret.com.
Are you ready for a close encounter of the third kind? Well, so are we. Hi, everyone. Dave Rabbit here with the ATS Mix Show from AboveTopSecret.com. My partner, Johnny Anonymous, is waist-deep in reviewing over 120 hours of videotape that the ATS investigation team took over a period of 10 days while they were all at James Gilliland Sanctuary at Trout Lake, Washington, overlooking the beautiful Mount Adams. In addition to Mark Allen, also known as Springer, Stephen Melzer, also known as Cracker, Johnny Anonymous, also known as Johnny Anonymous, we had a very special VIP AboveTopSecret.com member that accompanied the team by the name of Robbie Williams. And in case you're one of the few people who live your life underneath a huge rock, Robbie Williams is the English singer-songwriter who has sold well over 100 million records and is in the United Kingdom Music Hall of Fame. Robbie and his crew join Mark, Stephen, and Johnny for a casual conversation about what each of them saw over a few days at the sanctuary. So if you want to hear the Robbie Williams UFO interview at Gilliland Ranch and see some of the amazing footage that was captured there by my partner, Johnny Anonymous, you can find this incredible conversation and video on the homepage of AboveTopSecret.com, the number one alternative to mainstream media for alternative topics.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.AboveTopSecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat.